If you get pulled under, just relax. Wait till you float to the surface. You don't always have to struggle to survive.
Previews of coming attractions.
Welcome back to week 9 of Sunday Night in Cinema 3. As we roll into a new month with signs of an early spring to put some color back in our cheeks, Hollywood has seen fit to giving us a remake of Death Wish, starring Bruce Willis, and a Black Widow clone called Red Sparrow, starring Jennifer Lawrence. The prospect of a Death Wish remake is not one that I'm interested in, which makes sense since I also never wanted the original series of 1970s racist vigilantism that revived Charles Bronson's career. It seems like a really unwise film to make in this era of overt white supremacy in the United States, and I'm disappointed that actors like Bruce Willis and Elizabeth Shue would be part of it. It's not as disappointing as the fact that Tom Selleck is on the board of the NRA, which I also discovered this week, but disappointing nonetheless. As for Red Sparrow, I do love Jennifer Lawrence and I enjoy spy films, but I'm not very motivated to see this on the big screen. I'll catch it when it streams. The limited run releases for this week do sound good. There's a horror film called The Lullaby, a thriller called Midnighters, a drama called Foxtrot, and a film noir called Pickings. Foxtrot sounds the most interesting to me. It's about a father struggling to cope with the death of his son in the military, so I might catch it on the big screen if the opportunity presents itself. New releases on home video this week include Pixar's Oscar-nominated Coco, In Bruges' director Martin McDonagh's Oscar-nominated Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri, Oscar nominee Gary Oldman in the Churchill biography The Darkest Hour, Kenneth Branagh leading a star-studded cast in a remake of Agatha Christie's Murder on the Orient Express, a Christian movie called Let There Be Light, starring and directed by Hercules himself, Kevin Sorbo, and what appears to be a movie for senior citizens called Just Getting Started, starring Morgan Freeman, Tommy Lee Jones, and Rene Russo. It's written and directed by Ron Shelton, who wrote Bull Durham and Tin Cup, so who knows, perhaps it's not bad, but I'm in no rush to see it based on the description. As for the others, I watched Murder on the Orient Express this week, and it was okay, but not greater than the sum of its parts, and certainly not worth owning a copy. I don't have a lot of interest in the Churchill film, Let There Be Light, or Just Getting Started. I'll watch Coco someday when it's on Netflix or some other streaming service, but I doubt I'll ever feel compelled to own a copy. And my wife and I actually just watched Three Billboards the other night as part of our Oscar night preparations. I did like it, but again, no real interest in owning a copy.
Previously, on Sunday Night in Cinema 3.
So, 10 years ago in Cinema 3, I watched the Ryan Reynolds romantic dramedy called Definitely Maybe, in which he tells a How I Met Your Mother story to his 10-year-old daughter, played by Abigail Breslin. He recalls his days as an up-and-coming political flunky working on the original Bill Clinton presidential campaign. The three candidates for his daughter's mother are his college girlfriend, played by Elizabeth Banks, an aspiring writer, played by Rachel Weisz, who is in the shadow of her mentor and lover, played by Kevin Klein, and an old friend with issues that he drives away, played by Isla Fisher. Perhaps the greatest proof of Ryan Reynolds' acting skill is his ability to engender sympathy for his character, despite being an insanely good-looking man who has led such an agreeable life that he does not know how to cope with ordinary life changes like breakups or losing a job. He and the supporting cast are always enjoyable to watch. The film itself suffers unnecessarily from its storytelling conceit. It seems odd that a 10-year-old girl would have no idea how her parents met. Breslin is good in her role, but I don't see how the flashback device adds any value versus simply telling the story in a linear fashion. The first time I saw Definitely Maybe, oddly enough, there was a storm that evening and the theater lost power about 15 minutes before the end of the film, so I myself didn't know who the mother was until a couple of years later when I saw it on TV somewhere. Seeing it again now reminds me a bit of the DVD I watched last week, Fever Pitch. It's another story of a white guy entering his 30s who needs to level up his maturity so that he can function in an adult relationship. So, if you want to see some beautiful people dealing with some mostly temporary problems, I recommend it. Otherwise, I don't think you're missing anything at this point.
Intermission.
What a perfect summary it is of Hollywood that on the same weekend they meet to hand out gold statues and jerk each other off, they release a remake of Death Wish, an NRA member's wet dream, about a good man with a gun who decides to take his country back from the lowlifes. I don't care how many gay films or black films or women's films they greenlight to make themselves feel better, as long as they keep greenlighting shit like Death Wish, because they know it's a sure sale in red states. Hollywood is complicit in the suffering of hate crime victims. And for that matter, as much as I respect the hashtag Time's Up movement and the many actors who have come forward to tell their story of being abused by powerful men, there is a giant gap in that story as long as no one is talking about the so-called Church of Scientology, which enslaves its members, threatens them, sexually abuses them, and who knows what else. If anyone's time should be up, it is Scientology. But by all means, Hollywood, enjoy your annual celebration of yourself. The Oscar telecast, like many of the films it canonizes, is generally dull and predictable, but sometimes somebody loses their script. To be fair, I think a certain amount of my lack of regard for the Oscars stems from the advancement of technology that was out of their hands, especially the internet. As the internet became mainstream in the 90s and reality television in the following decade, the mystique of Hollywood changed. Suddenly, everyone could quickly find out all they wanted to know about a film and its cast and crew. And they commented on what they saw, and studios, terrified of losing key audiences, started to listen. The Oscar telecast used to be a place for those of us who didn't live in large cities to hear about films that never came near our theaters. Now we can stream most of the nominees in every category before the telecast, and we can marinate in 24/7 entertainment news coverage the rest of the time. The Oscar telecast is more than ever before about showing the world that Hollywood is listening. Hollywood hears you, little people, plain people, poor people, and Hollywood feels your pain. Sometimes this results in pandering overpraise of important films. Sometimes it fetishizes people with mental illnesses, or women who work in the sex industry, as a recipe for manipulating the empathy of the audience. Sometimes cracks form in the pancake makeup that the old girl puts on. The Oscar telecast reveals how Hollywood has become Norma Desmond, desperately clinging to the glory days, ready for her close-up. Meanwhile, Netflix and HBO chuckle and flick their cigarettes away as she passes, and then go back to work making movies.
And now, our feature presentation.
This week's pick from my DVD collection is an unusual one in a few ways. It's called Monster Thursday, and it's a quirky romantic drama from Norway about a guy called Evan who wants to learn how to surf. His best friend, Tord, is a pro surfer who has taken off on a surfing trip to Australia. Tord asks Evan to look after his pregnant wife, Karen, not realizing, despite some very obvious signals, that Evan is in love with her. So if it seems odd that these guys are best friends, but Tord has never taught Evan to surf, at least it kind of evens out that Tord doesn't notice the chemistry between Evan and his wife. Or maybe Tord doesn't really care. You might recall me saying in an earlier episode that I've probably seen more surfing movies than all other sports-related movies put together, and that's why I bought this DVD from the Video Difference clearance sale here in Halifax last year. But for some reason I didn't watch it until this past week, Thursday, in fact. I'm glad I finally did, because unlike most surf movies that are about younger people chasing the dream of winning a tournament, I could identify with a guy struggling to learn to surf later in life, especially in a place like Norway. I've gone surfing here in Nova Scotia half a dozen times and found it to be a both exhilarating and sometimes terrifying experience, and I've never even properly stood up to ride a wave yet. Another thing that makes this DVD unusual is that it came from a DVD of the Month Club called Film Movement, which apparently sent its members a great foreign film and a short film every month. This one was a selection at Sundance and several other festivals after its Norwegian release in 2004. The lead actor, Vegard Hull, has gone on to appear in a number of films and TV series, including the two Dead Snow horror films, the recent Hansel and Gretel film, and the recent film starring Noomi Rapace called What Happened to Monday. As for the film itself, Monster Thursday is definitely more occupied with the relationship between Evan, Tord, and Karen than it is about surfing. Perhaps its most remarkable achievement is how Vegard Hull is able to lead the audience through his character's arc from a sour-spurned lover to a man who accepts his situation and wants to do what he thinks is the right thing. The supporting cast is also strong, especially Silje Salomonsen as Karen, Danish actor Kim Bodnia, who appeared in the original version of the TV series The Bridge and in Nicholas Winding Refn's film Pusher, and Danish actor Iben Hjelle, who is probably best known in North America for her leading role in the film of High Fidelity, and has since starred in the TV series Clown and Dicta. she and Bodnia also starred together in a Danish action film called Old Men in New Cars. If you enjoy romantic foreign dramas and can get past the somewhat retrograde love triangle plot, or if you're like me and you're a surfing movie completist, you might want to check out Monster Thursday, if you can find it.
Roll the credits.
Sunday Night in Cinema 3 is produced, written, and recorded by Scott Marshall, that's me, with much appreciated help from Nicole Slip and the nice people at the Central Branch of the Halifax Public Library. Sunday Night in Cinema 3 is copyright 2018 by Scott Marshall, all rights reserved. Please send your feedback, questions, or concerns to Sunday Night in Cinema 3, that's the number 3, not the written out word 3, at gmail.com or through social media. Visit SundayNightInCinema3.com for our links to Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and whatever other social media platforms I can stand to deal with. This podcast does not have any advertisements because I figure we all have enough advertising in our lives, but it does have some modest expenses. So if you'd like to support the podcast, you can check out my Patreon at patreon.com/ScottMarshall. That's 2 T's, 2 L's. For as low as $1 a month, you will have exclusive benefits, including outtakes and bonus material from the podcast, a heads up on what's coming up from me, and access to other exclusive digital content that I haven't even thought of yet. The Patreon also has a community forum where you can talk to each other or ask me questions, and if you subscribe for $5 a month or more, you will receive regular packages of physical stuff from me in the mail, including comics, art prints, stickers, game prototypes, and whatever else I can think of to send. Whatever you do, thank you very much for listening, and I hope you enjoyed it. See you next Sunday in Cinema 3.
Good night.